Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began with the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. As we go a little bit further into Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31, when Paul was preaching to the Philippian jailer, the jailer said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And in the 18th chapter, in the 8th verse, we read that many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Well, these are just a few of the many passages of Scripture in God's New Testament that emphasizes the necessity of faith for our salvation. People were told to believe. They did believe. There was something in which they were to believe. Now, nothing is plainer than the statement of Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to be pleasing to God. And while these passages of Scripture, every one of them and many others to which you could turn and with which you are familiar, while they teach salvation by faith, they do not teach salvation by faith alone. But the point I want to make here is they teach that we must believe in something. It is all important that our faith and our confidence and our trust be leveled on something. It makes a difference what we believe. Everybody believes something. But it makes a difference what and in what or in whom we believe. What are we to believe? Well, these passages and the entirety of the New Testament teaches that we're to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we must believe in Christ. Now that's a good answer, a right answer, a correct answer, a good general answer. But that's not really enough to know. There is more that we know or need to know, and to be more specific about what it is in which we are to believe. What is it about Jesus that we are to believe? As we continue to read in Acts the 16th chapter, after Paul had told the Philippian jailer to believe, he went on and taught him what it was he was supposed to believe. Philip had already taught the Ethiopian what to believe, and now the Ethiopian was wondering, am I a fit candidate to be baptized? Well, he would be if he had the right kind of faith. Friend, that which we must believe, and again, this is a very broad answer, is whatever the gospel of Jesus Christ reveals to us about Christ and concerning Christ. The gospel, of course, is the good tidings of salvation. That's the reason the gospel is to be preached throughout all the world. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And Jesus admonished, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He said again in John 8, they testify of me. So isn't it plain that to believe in Christ, we must know what to believe concerning Christ, and we learn what to believe from the Scriptures and from the Gospel. As we study even back into the Old Testament as well as the New, the prophetic statements, the messianic promises, the sermons that were preached by Christ and then later by His apostles, there's no question that we can know and we can learn what it is about Christ we are to believe. And I suggest to you, friend, and you need to think soberly about this, if you truly believe the gospel message that tells us about Christ, you will not have any hesitancy to obey whatever it is the Lord has commanded us to do. The very fact that you are hesitant, the fact that you have not yet responded favorably to the commands of Jesus Christ is indicative that there is something lacking about your faith in what the Scripture says about Christ. You are yet, for some reason or another, entertaining doubts and have not overcome those doubts and those misgivings. Because when a person is truly and genuinely convinced of the biblical message about Christ, and he knows that he must put his faith and trust and confidence in Christ, he will not hesitate to obey the words of Christ. I want to, in our lesson this morning, present to you a few basic things about Christ which we are to believe, citing them from the Scripture, and appealing to what I trust is your conviction that the Scripture is the inspired Word of God. Friend, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, when Christ asked His apostles, "Whom say ye that I am?" It was the apostle Peter who made the confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was at the baptism of Jesus, and again in Matthew 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration, that the Father in heaven made the same confession, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In the passage of Scripture that I read to you a moment ago, in the discussion between Philip and the Ethiopian said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "Thou mayest if thou believe." What did he believe? "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." When Jesus is standing before his enemies, they ask him, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he answered, "Thou sayest." That's an affirmative response. He was answering that he did. In fact, our Lord once said in John 8 and verse 24, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Now you must believe that which Scripture shows to us is the bottom line, the basic fundamental foundation upon which everything about Christianity ultimately depends. And that is the identity of the Christ, the Son of God. Now it's prophetic that there be many who deny that. There'll be many who have pushed that aside. There'll be many who say he was a great teacher, a great ethical teacher, a very important influence in his life and even now, but he was not deity. But he is not deity. But the Scripture teaches that he's the Son of God, and you must be convinced and convicted of that fact, or there's not a syllable in the pages of the Bible that holds one grain of hope for your soul in eternity. There's nothing plainer than that in all the Scripture. But accepting the fact that Jesus is the Son of God demands other things that we must recognize, believe, and accept. It demands that we recognize He is our Savior. The Apostle Peter said on Pentecost, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." The word Christ is like the word Messiah. He is the promised one. He is the anointed one. He is, as John the Baptist preached, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save the sinners. And not only is He a Savior, He is the Savior, the only Savior. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus declared. Now that's a truth that much of the religious world sets aside, but though they might set it aside for themselves, it is still God's truth. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Peter said, concerning Christ, recorded in Acts 4 and verse 12. But believing Christ to be the Son of God and the Savior of man insists, therefore, we believe in what the Scripture says about Him. We believe what He says, what it says concerning Him being born of the Virgin Mary. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and came, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet by the Lord, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Isaiah, some 7 centuries before our Lord came to this earth, recorded in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, prophesied that a virgin would bear a son. Matthew, guided by the same Holy Spirit that guided Isaiah to prophesy, said the birth of Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of that prophecy. The Bible affirms Jesus was born of a virgin. It is said but true that much of Protestant denominationalism denies this. It is said but true that Roman Catholicism has wrongly exalted Mary to some kind of almost state of deity. Neither concept is true, dear friend. It's senseless, however, for you to say, and for you to content your mind with believing, that Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus is the Savior of man, and then deny what the Scripture says concerning Him on this or any other point of information that He gives. I have a relative, I guess she's still alive, haven't heard about her dying. She believed in the resurrection, but she said, I just don't believe in a virgin birth. The best response I knew at the moment to ask her, why do you accept one and deny the other in view of the fact that the same Bible that tells you of the resurrection also tells you that Jesus was born of a virgin? Friend, to deny the virgin birth of Christ is to deny His deity. If He is just as we are, He's no different than what we are. He came as deity and took on the form of flesh, was made in the likeness of man. He lived here upon this earth, both human and divine. To believe in Christ, you will entertain no question about that. No doubt about that. Furthermore, you'll not only believe that He was born of a virgin, you'll believe that He lived, that He taught, and while here He performed the miraculous. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, Luke says he was going to speak of all the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. In John the 2nd chapter and the 23rd verse, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. The Bible affirms the miraculous performed by Christ. Nicodemus said, no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. In Acts 10 and verse 38, we read about the good things that Jesus did. How he opened the eyes of the blind, he made the lame to walk, the diseased to well, even on times the dead to rise. And when he taught, and this should strike us to the heart, he taught and it was recognized that he taught as one having authority. And well, he might, because all authority was given unto him, Matthew 28 and verse 18. And friend, to believe in Christ means you believe what he taught. You accept whatever it is he taught. He taught the nature of God. He taught the nature of himself. He taught the nature of man. He taught the condemnation of sin. He taught the way of salvation. He taught the way we are to live here upon this earth to glorify God. He taught a moral code. And to believe in Christ, you believe and you support and you protect and you defend and you follow his moral code. He taught the condemnation of fornication. He taught the condemnation of adultery. He would therefore have taught the condemnation of homosexuality, because that's a part of fornication. He taught the dignity of human life. He taught that men should tell the truth. And how in the world can a person who claims to believe in Christ give his support who so arrogantly, repeatedly, habitually, pathologically defy the moral code of Jesus Christ? And you need to think about that when you go into that ballot box too. To believe in Christ means to believe what he said and to live by what he said. And to not do that means that your faith is as shallow as a dried up pool. It's just not the kind of faith that's going to take you to glory. To believe in Christ demands that we believe that he died. Not just a martyr's death, but a death on the cross for the sins of man. And that he was buried in the borrowed tomb by Joseph of Arimathea. But that he was raised from the dead. You can't believe in Christ and not believe in his atoning blood. You can't believe in Christ and not believe that he came forth from that tomb. As the angel said, he is not here. He is risen, even as he said. And to believe in Christ, you will believe the biblical testimony that there were eyewitnesses of him after he was raised from the dead. There are some 12 to 13 different occasions where Jesus appeared to people who were thereby convinced and convicted that indeed he was raised from the dead. And you can't go through the scriptures and pick and choose like you're going through the supermarket, taking what you want and setting aside that which doesn't particularly appeal to you. If you believe in Christ, you're going to accept everything God, through the Holy Spirit and the inspired writers, have revealed concerning Christ. You may not even yet know all there is concerning Christ revealed therein. But when you believe in Christ, whatever you learn and whenever you learn it, that becomes your faith. That's where you stand. That's where you believe. And you can't be saved unless that is the disposition of your heart. Furthermore, to believe in Christ, believe that after His resurrection He ascended into heaven. And as He said these things, as they were looking up, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And when He was received up into heaven, He went to be at the right hand of God. If ye then be with Christ, risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Notice, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's an expression that denotes the ultimate of authority. He is at the right hand of God on His throne. To believe in Christ, you will believe that He is now, not going to be, He is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His kingdom has been established. It's composed of the redeemed, the same ones that make up the Lord's church. And to believe in Christ, you're going to believe the divine promises that He will come again. That the redeemed will meet Him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We will know that when He comes again, He will deliver up the kingdom to the Father. For that's what Scripture says concerning Him. These are just a few of the matters. Very pertinent, very basic, very fundamental matters about which there can be no question or doubt in your heart and in your mind concerning them. That's what it means to believe in Christ. And when Paul and the others taught people to believe in Christ, they continued forward to teach them what it meant to believe in Christ. Or you hear sometimes preachers so glibly say, you want to be saved, you want to go to heaven, believe in Christ. Believe what? And if a person's not instructed in what to believe concerning Christ, he's got his faith in something of which he knows nothing. We have to learn what the will of God is and what it says, and that's where our convictions must rest. And these things that I have briefly mentioned to you today are things that are absolutely essential. It includes all of them. And it includes anything else, many of which we could refer, but in a limited time we will not continue. But they must be believed. And it should not therefore be difficult for you to accept them. Inasmuch as the evidence is sure that the Scripture is the inspired Word of God. This is the battle of our time, by the way, brethren, as to the nature of the Bible. What is the Bible? Is it just an ancient document? Is it just a story of fables and ideas of people of the past, as the modernist would have us to believe? Or is it what it claims to be? And reason with me for a moment. In view of the fact that the Bible claims to be the inspired Word of God, if it is mistaken and wrong and misleading on that point, where is the sense and the reason to put any confidence in anything else that it might have to say? To deny the Bible as the Word of God, there's no reason to look at any of it and consider any of it and respect any of it. But the evidence is certain and sure and provable. The Bible is the Word of God. And inasmuch as it is, what it says concerning Christ is reliable and credible. And therein must be our confidence and must be our faith. Going back with me to Acts chapter 8. When the Ethiopian said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He wanted to be baptized. He had had Jesus preached unto him. And Philip said, thou mayest, if thou believest. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It was then that he obeyed what the Lord and those whom the Lord delegated to speak on his behalf taught men to obey. Was it not Christ that said in Luke 6 and verse 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Hebrews 5 and verse 9 says that Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey Him. It's not just your faith. It's your faith coupled with your obedience that's a saving faith. And a faith discoupled from obedience is not a faith that's going to take you into glory. It was no different then, and it's no different with people today. When you are convinced of the glad tidings and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ concerning our Lord, you recognize His majesty, His authority, His role as Savior, His deity, all the things that the Scriptures say of Him. If you are convinced of that, there's no sense in postponing obedience to Him. It's altogether to your advantage to humbly submit before such a one as our Lord is. It is to your detriment and the jeopardizing of your soul to not render obedience to such a one as is Jesus. And so I plead with you today, in the light of biblical information and the glory and the grandeur of Jesus the Christ, and of our privilege and opportunity to know of Him, and being thankful for God's revelation concerning Him, and knowing of our need of Him, and how we can partake of the benefits offered by Him, I plead with you this morning, if you have not yet obeyed, won't you believe in Christ? Because when you do, and you haven't obeyed as yet, you will. And when you don't obey, friend, you've got some to go concerning your faith. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing the song of invitation. And should there be even one precious soul, don't you know that the Lord Jesus has said one soul is worth more than all this world, and that means you as well as anybody else? He died that you might live eternally. He had a right to make that offer. He conquered death. He died for your forgiveness. He's coming again to take His own unto Himself eternally. I know you ought to be in that number. Why not today humbly bow before the Christ? Come and confess your faith that you do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Obey Him in baptism. Rise to walk in the newness of life. And live a faithful life in Christ. All of God's promises, both for the here and the hereafter, will be yours to enjoy. If you've once started that journey, you've faltered along the way. Come back home. There's no salvation apart from Christ. No need to stay separated from Him. You've once come to Him. You may have turned back from Him. You've been negligent and indifferent. That doesn't have to remain that way. You can be restored because God has provided the way for you to come back. And it's repentance, confession, and prayer. So regardless of your state, one who has never come or one who has come and fallen away, believe in Christ. And all that it implies. And won't you come this morning?